And today we come to the topic of civility and charity. Now, those are sort of words that we don't use a whole lot. So let me put them in another context. Civility, keep in mind the words politeness, courtesy, respect, graciousness, consideration. I believe that those need to be words that reflect who we are as believers. They don't save us, you know, they don't do all of those things, but when we know Christ, I believe that those are elements that need to be part of our life. The word charity needs to be, you need to keep in mind the words tolerance, compassion, kind-heartedness. So, with all those things in mind, why do I say that? Because I believe that we need, and as I've said each week, we need to have a worldview that considers these things as part of our lives. We need to have those beliefs that are the base of all decisions that we make. If you have a worldview that's just a humanistic worldview, you will find that you base your decisions on that. And your decisions will be humanistic. They will not have the grace of God in the midst of them. And your worldview is how you do see life, how you see death, how you see yourself. Your worldview includes things like how you will see God, how you see others, the past, the present, the future. Every area of your life is based on your worldview, and that comes from God's Word. Well, it could come from God's Word if you are a believer and if you seek to live out what Christ has called us to. So everybody has a worldview. Don't let people kid you to say, oh, well, I don't ascribe to any worldview. They do. You know, they may ascribe to the worldview that they themselves are God, or they themselves want to be their God, or they themselves want to rule their life. So don't let anybody fool you. Everybody has a worldview. And ultimately, there are consequences to literally every decision you make because you base it on your worldview. And that's the way it is. It can be no other. And ultimately, having this worldview is an issue of our hearts. And it can be a problem of our hearts. It's inside us, and you can't change the world, as we've said each week. You can't change the world by making a new law. Just think what people do with laws. When was the last time you saw anybody driving the speed limit in town? You know, I mean, that's a simple example, right? But my goodness, I drive home and I'm going over the bridge, and you know, and I try to keep it under 80, and I'm holding up traffic. That's a pretty simple example, but you think of all the other things that people do. So you can't change the world by simply making laws. You have to change people, and we have to change ourselves from the inside out. From the inside. It has to be a decision of our hearts that we want to live in a certain way. And I believe God gives us the ability. God calls us and enables us that our lives might be changed. So once we become Christians, we need to say, okay, once we've accepted Christ, does it change the way that I live my life? Has your life really changed since you've made the utterance, yes, I believe? Has that become part of your life? How do my beliefs change my behavior, we need to ask. How am I going to do what I know I should do? How am I going to live in this world? And we've referred to this Bible verse over and over again in 1 John 2:6. We read, anyone who says he is a Christian should what? Live as Christ did. So we say we're Christians, and it just seems you sort of want to respond, duh, you know. You say you're a Christian, you should live like Christ did. I mean, it just seems to be obvious, yet we don't do it. We call ourselves followers, we call ourselves believers, we call ourselves Christians. Often we don't find ourselves living in the way that Jesus did or in the way that he calls us to do. And so, hence we come to these topics. The topics that I think are important. Because they reflect who Jesus was and they reflect what he calls us to do. Courtesy, treating others with respect and dignity. It's almost become, and it's sad, but it's almost become countercultural to treat people with respect, to treat people with dignity. I mean, isn't that sad that we come to this point, we think that we're so elevated and so smart and so everything in our world today, and yet we've lost the great art of caring about other people, treating other people with respect and dignity. People tend to be flat out rude with one another. Have you ever merged when somebody thinks that you shouldn't? I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, it's the people are just not civil. People are not polite. I think that this is something that it can be an evidence of maybe our lives have been changed. It's certainly not a way to earn salvation. I believe Jesus is assuming that something very profound happens to people when they get to know him and when Christ comes into their life. I mean, if our lives didn't change, why bother? You know, we're not just doing something so we have fire insurance at the end of our life. Our lives are being changed. So I want to show you just a couple things and talk to you just briefly about a couple things that are important. You remember the Pharisees in the New Testament? They really thought that they were something. They really thought that they had it all together. And Jesus simply said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, not so that we can earn our way to heaven, but so that we can show graciously to our world that God has changed us, has powerfully changed us. And unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, he says, we're missing the boat. Look at this verse. He says, but I say to you, think how countercultural this is. And I hope you can read this. But I say, love your enemies. What? Pray for those who persecute you. You've got to be kidding. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Jesus is saying, love your enemies, and so prove yourself to be what you say you are, a child of God. You see, all God's children, all God's creation, the sun shines on everyone. The good, the bad, the evil, the righteous. Have you ever thought that God loves his enemies? Sends rain and sunshine on them, on all of everybody instead of just judgment. He goes on, and in another spot he says, you are like, and he's talking about us, you are like the light, or are like that illuminating light. Let your light shine everywhere you go, that you may illumine creation, so men and women everywhere may see your good actions. They may see creation at its fullest, may see your devotion to me, and may turn and praise your Father in heaven because of it. There are two things to remember. Jesus is saying that, and he's calling, he's not saying so your Father can be, so you don't act this way so God can become your Father. He's talking about God is your Father. And as a result of that, you ought to be acting like your Father. You ought to be taking on the characteristics. How many fathers here who, even though we don't live perfectly, would like some of our better characteristics to be passed on in some kind of legacy to our kids? Most of us would. Probably some of us hope our kids don't pick up everything. However, Jesus is saying God is your Father, and because of that, there ought to be these characteristics that become evident. The second thing that he says is, notice when people see the good works that you have in your life, what happens with that? He says, they will give glory to our Father, because our Father is enabling us. He's giving us the ability to do these things. He's giving us the chance to show what the Father is like to other people. The light that we let shine and that disciples let shine in their light is the light the Father gives them from within. Have you ever been in a setting, and this is indicative of our culture, have you ever been in a setting where people who are doing antagonistic things get all the attention? And they seem to rise up, and when people say negative things, you get lots of people who want to follow along. And I was at a meeting yesterday, and in that meeting, there were a group of people who had been leading, and they were trying to do the best they could to work in the system, to work with people and make things right. And then there was another group who was and being antagonistic and flipping out, you know, just many statements and unkind things, sort of uncivil things, lacking politeness, sitting in the meeting. Have you ever sat in a meeting where you get a little group of people and they're all sort of telling their little jokes and little derogatory things and all these inside things that are sort of hurting the cause? And you're sitting there thinking, where did politeness go? Where did civility go? Why would these people do these things? And they gather a gathering of people around them because they're being negative, and it is so pathetic. And you know what? We do that in our world. And that seems to be common in our world. From those little events, you might see it in your workplace. Everybody loves to, you know, gather people around and complain and nitpick and do these things. You see it in politics. You see it everywhere. I saw it yesterday in spades, and I thought, how uncivil. And so it truly is countercultural to be civil and charitable and to have politeness when we deal with other people. The thing that we need to do, we of all people need to restore a level of civility in the things that we do. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be disagreeable. And we need to know that, and I believe that God is calling us to something bigger than just being those kinds of people. Jesus says what he wants is for us Is it going to work? Went too far. Sorry. So Jesus wants us to be people that become peacemakers. And as peacemakers, we are called children of God. There we go. This is what our scriptures come to teach. In everything, in every circumstance, do to others as you would have them do to you. Do you want to go to a meeting? Do you want to go to an event? Do you want to go to life and have other people dumping on you? I don't think so. So we need to be people who set the standard, who lift things up, who say new things in a different way. We need to have civility. Civility is just treating other people the way that you'd like to be treated. Even if you disagree with them. Even if they're flat out wrong. We need to be able to treat people with decency. Even if they're fighting against you, you treat them the way you want to be treated. You're blessed. When you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. I love the way that Eugene Peterson has translated that. That's when you really discover who you are and your place in God's family. Well, I want God's blessing on my life and your life. So I think one of our goals is that, and we do it fairly well, one of our goals is that we need to learn civility, and we need to teach other people, and we need to be people who show to others what civility is. Truly countercultural in our world today. Well, the second thing, and we're only doing two of these things today. The second is charity, kind-heartedness. If you want to live like Jesus, you want to live with his lifestyle, you want to be countercultural, then you need to live with charity. Charity is really like a big basket of things, isn't it? It includes stuff like forgiveness, mercy, kindness, grace, graciousness, compassion. That's a big basket. That's an almost insurmountable basket, or a basket that we can barely carry. All of these things are wrapped up in the whole idea of charity. If you read in 1 Corinthians 13, it describes it. This is showing love to others. And the greatest of these, as Paul wrote, is love. We have been shown grace by God. God says, I want you to be gracious to other people. God has shown us grace. And he's simply saying to us, I want you to be gracious people to others, that we are to be like Christ. We are to be transformed into his image. And his image is one of grace. And so it's like God is saying, if I've shown you grace, you ought to be able to cut a little slack for other people. You ought to be able to, don't just call on them to toe the hard line. God says, I've been gracious to you. Why don't you be gracious to other people? Can you think of the place, your workplace, your family, your home, your neighborhood, where you have to be gracious to these other people who may not be gracious to you? It's not that we're called on to get our pound of flesh or to get things, make sure everything in life is even. We're called on to be gracious. We're called on to offer charity, to love others. God gives us freedom. God gives us freedom to choose and to reject him, to love him and to not love him. He gives us the opportunity to respond to him. And you know what? Even if we make the wrong decision, he still loves us. Even if we make the wrong decision, he is still seeking to impart to us faith, so that we might come to that point where we respond to his graciousness and kindness. I simply don't believe in the kind of theocracy where you force everybody to believe one thing. That's not the way God created us, I don't believe. And anyways, that's not real belief. It's like forcing someone to love you. How in the world do you do that? God gives us the opportunity to respond to his love, which is compelling. His love is compelling. And I ought to give that to everybody else as well, because I want to be transformed into his image. We need to show charity and to show love to others. And this is so countercultural. We live in a culture that says, fight your enemies and love your friends. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you to love your friends. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you to love your enemies. You should love your friends too. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you to love your enemies. I have to tell you, in all honesty, I find that difficult. I don't know about you. You may do that easily. But very often, I simply don't want to. I don't necessarily want to love my enemies. Just being honest, I simply don't always want to love my enemies. But Jesus says, if you're going to call yourself a believer, if you're going to call yourself one who's named after me, we've got to do that. He says, love your enemies. We read on in this verse, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. So if you have an enemy who takes a stand against you and you return bad favor for bad favor, that doesn't bring out the best in you. Jesus is saying, love your enemies, and that is bringing out the best in you because it's showing that you truly are. You truly are being transformed into his image. If they put you down, if they persecute you for being a Christian, he simply says, pray for them. Do you do that? Do you do this in your workplace? Do you do this if you're in a school? Do you do this if someone irritates you at work or in your neighborhood? When someone ticks you off? Or you're out shopping and you get a clerk who's a jerk? I mean, they're out there. Do they bring out the best in you or the worst? Do you make it, or do they make you do the right thing, or do you want to do the wrong thing when you run into them? Does God use you to show them charity and love? Does God use you to share some forgiveness with them? Do you cut them some slack? Do you offer them some grace? You know what? Maybe they've had a tough day. Maybe they're suffering through who knows what. You don't know what they're going through, but he says to give them peace of mind, to love your enemy, to love those that stand against you. So, don't judge. We read, do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know what? We're not here. You and I are not here to judge the world. That's not our job. That's not our job. It's time for Christians, I think, to stop judging the world and to start loving it and to be like Jesus and to be like God. For God so loved the world. We need to be like that. He says, I want you to love it. There's no question we're in a battle about ideas and cultural battle going on and values and all of those things that we believe in that our world seems to think so easily about trampling on all those things. But you know what? Even the people who disagree with you over values and judgments and all of those things and cultural stuff, they're not the enemy. They're the mission field. They're the people that we have been called on to address, to care about, and to touch. They are people that Jesus died for. He wants them to know his love as much as he wants you to know it. Have you ever thought of that? That turkey at the store yesterday? They're a mission field. God wants them to know about his love. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter what they said. Doesn't matter how they lived their life. God loves them and wants them redeemed. And they are your mission field. All those people that you don't like because of what they believe and things they've done in our society, Jesus says, I love them so much. I want you to love them. I expect you to show charity and grace because you're going to love your enemies. Wow. I think that these are important things for us. That we need to raise the bar in our culture. We're not going to change it all. How can we change what governments do and all of that stuff and the things that they say? But you know what? You can do it in your home. You can do it in your neighborhood. You can do it at the grocery store. You can do it wherever you are. Maybe your workplace. I don't know. But that's what God is calling us to. My prayer is that all of us will see that as something that we need to respond to. Let's just pray together as our music team comes. Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Father, for the fact that you've called us and you've enabled us. Your Spirit dwells within us. Help us to be transformed into your image so that we can live and be people that live with civility and with charity. Help us to make a difference in our world. Help us to stand out. Help us to do things so that people will look at us and give glory to you, because you have changed us. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.